Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read the first 16 verses. Let's hear God's word. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labour in vain. So reads God's holy word. Habakkuk tells us there's an appointed day. And Peter tells the people who are scattered, people around about you will say it's not going to come. Nothing's happened. They don't believe in the flood. They don't believe that a whale could swallow a man, and that a man could live for 3 days in the belly of a fish. They don't believe it. They mock them. But Peter says that day has been appointed. And that day there's going to be a great fire. And everything will be burned up. And the scripture tells us there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth only righteousness. There's an appointed day. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, we read these words. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now the psalmist there, he experienced many, many occasions when there was life and death at his fingertips. But he had experienced through faith that God was able to deliver him. And this is what he was saying here, wait on God. Habakkuk says, wait on God. It will come. Jesus will come. The end will come. Judgment will come. A glorious salvation is here. I honestly, you just think about, well, we think about this at the Lord's Supper, but just to mention this in Hebrews chapter 9, I can't seem to get away from Hebrews. I've been in Hebrews for I don't know how many months it has. I can't seem to get away from it. It all seems to be always cropping up. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." There's the word appointed again. God has appointed all things. And he knows when that day will come. We don't. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 27, "Wait on the Lord." If you have faith tonight, wait on the Lord. Those who are not filling these pews tonight have no faith. They have no hope. That's why the pews are not filled. They're going their own way. But one day, they will have to give an answer. Notice number 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It's appointed, and it will certainly come, first to die and then the judgment. But look at verse 28, talking about Christ. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." It wasn't to die and then the judgment. But concerning Christ, it was the judgment and then to die. You see, this is what makes him different from all other men. He had to come under judgment first. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He had to be crucified. He had to come under God's wrath. And then he will die. But for you and I, it's the difference. It's the opposite way around. We will die first, and then the judgment. Verse 28 has been fulfilled. "So Christ was once offered." That tells us there, that's in the past. That has been fulfilled. Christ has been judged and he has died. He has taken the punishment for sin. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. He had a soul, but he never sinned, but he was the substitute for sinners. And he took the full punishment. Verse 28 has been fulfilled, but verse 27 will be fulfilled. Appointed. I mentioned that about three times, the word appointed. And that's an encouragement to a Christian tonight when we see the way the world's going. That's an encouragement. It's not a warning and it's not a threat. It's an encouragement. I take it as an encouragement that God has appointed everything that will come into being. He can't be thwarted. We don't look as though the church is being built. There's a church not far from here closed down. We've got quite a few empty pews. It looks as though the church is diminishing. It looks as though the church is dying. The churches that Aaron and I go to when we go to preach, there's only a handful. I can't even count them really at times on one hand. And it looks as though the church is dying, but the church is growing. For Jesus Christ said himself, "I will build my church." For God has appointed a church. And that church is the bride for his son. Appointed. What has God appointed? Habakkuk again, chapter 2 and verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. As I've just been saying, God has appointed a day. And God says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's appointed a day when judgment will come. But before he has appointed that day of judgment, he has appointed the day of salvation. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to be punished first and then to taste death for all those who would trust in him. So the first thing we need to realise this is there's a day coming, it's been appointed, and it will surely come. As Peter tells the scattered church, it will come. And Habakkuk says, wait for it, it will certainly come that day. Wonderful. And what else has he appointed? Well, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man that we spoke about this morning. That man whom he has ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. There's the word again, appointed. God has appointed a day. God has appointed a man. And we read about that man this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. One sacrifice on one day, and it was enough to take away the sins of all those who would trust in him. So God has appointed a day, he's appointed a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's the man that he has appointed. There was a great, well, not a great high priest, but there was a high priest in the Old Testament. A high priest who had great privileges and an awesome duty. He had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of something else, not his own blood. What an awesome responsibility, but what a great privilege. That he could draw that curtain aside and he could go in and he could be alone with God. For God's presence was there in the Ark of the Covenant. What a great privilege and awesome responsibility. He didn't just have to wander in. There had to be the lights. There had to be the incense. There had to be the white linen robes. He didn't go in with his turban with his gold band on it. He didn't go in with all the names and the precious stones. He had to go in just with a linen dress, plain. But then it tells us in the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the privilege that he had and the awesome responsibility that he had. Aaron and his family, those who followed him, were speaking on behalf of the people, and no matter how many times they did the sacrifice, it couldn't take away their sin. We read that this morning. But this man, one sacrifice for sin forever, took away the sins of all his people forever. God has appointed a day. God has appointed a person. And thirdly, God has appointed a place. 2 Corinthians and 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that according to that he had done, what he has done, whether it be good or bad, he has appointed a place. We must appear before the judgment seat of that man. That man which God has appointed. That man that went to that place where God had appointed. You see, my friends, God has everything in hand. God is not sitting on his throne wondering what he shall do next, looking down on the world and saying, well, how can we sort this mess out? God has appointed everything. This is the encouragement for the Christian. This is what keeps us going. We know that God's sovereign and he's in charge. And nothing can happen without God knowing. He allows certain things to happen. But he also tells us concerning these things that will be happening, that all things work together for good for those that love God, for those who have been called according to his purpose. He's working things out for our good. For your good. If you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, well, God has appointed a day and a person and a place, and there's a residence. Where's the residence? Well, you have to look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 22 and 23 speaks about the residence. We've been to the judgment seat. We've been there. And Matthew chapter 25 tells us what's going to happen at that judgment seat. And it tells us that there's two residences. And then Luke chapter 16 and verse 22 and 23 tells us about these residences. And it came to pass that the beggar died, that was Lazarus, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his fingers in his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. My dear, God has appointed a residence. And these places will be full. They'll be full of either falling angels or the angels that kept their place. They'll be kept by sinners unsaved by Christ or those who are saved by Christ. The world doesn't want to know about hell. The world doesn't want to know about judgment. That's why they're in their pubs and in their clubs, and that's why they're playing their games, because they want to enjoy themselves, because they don't want to think about tomorrow. Paul tells us that everyone knows that there is a God, but we suppress it, willingly, knowingly suppress it. We know. That's why people are afraid to die. That's why they're afraid to die. Yes, there's a residence. And fifthly, there's a duration. People think that once this world comes to an end, that's it. But my friends, that's not true. Verse Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 tells us all about the residence in verse 46. And there shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, the same word is used for both places. And that same word is eternal. Have you any idea what eternal means? It means never ending. Never. Everything in this world ends, but eternity never ends, because that's where God dwells. Because God is eternal. He has no beginning and He has no end. This is why these portions of Scripture that we're reading are very important. Oh, I wish that these pews were filled with people who were unsaved. That I can tell them that there's a way of salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's my desire. That I would preach to sinners unsaved. That I might proclaim this gospel and tell them that there is hope. There's no joy in the world. There's no lasting joy. I've experienced the world. I've experienced the things of the world. And I got no real joy because the next day I had to do exactly the same thing. Because the night before wasn't everlasting. It was gone first thing in the morning. And the next day I had to do the same thing. But the joy of the Christian is everlasting. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has had pity on me and that He has had mercy on me. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. Oh, how I love His name. Oh, how I love His name. We sing these hymns tonight. I've picked them especially because His name's in every one of them. Jesus. Jesus the Saviour. He came to give His life a ransom for many. It's a wonderful story. It's a glorious story. It's a story about hope. There's no hope in the world. You can't get hope from the world. Because the prince of this world is in charge. And it's Him that is working in people's minds and in their hearts. That's why, and I've said this and I'll say it again, that's why God asks for our heart. He said to Solomon, "Son, give me your heart. If I have your heart, I have everything concerning you." And that's why I have given my heart to my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has sole charge of my heart, and it's safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. There's another hymn we sing, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." Another hymn we sing is, "He holds the keys to all unknown," and then, "I am glad." There's no need for the Christian to be sad. We may mourn, yes, but there's no need to be sad, because Jesus said, "I have come that your joy might be full." And that fullness, He says, no man can take from you. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Saviour appointed. Therefore, my dear friends, it's certain. Today is the preparation time, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Today is the preparation. Today is the day of salvation. Why today? Because God doesn't guarantee tomorrow. How many people tonight thinking they're going to do something tomorrow are going to be called into eternity tonight? A minute past 12 and the day has gone. And it may be that their hope has gone. As we read in Proverbs chapter 1 and as we read in Romans chapter 1, their hope might be gone at 1 minute after 12, because that day of salvation has gone. That's why these things are important. The appointed time, the appointed day of the Lord is Jesus Christ, and he's come and he has gone. Let me read some verses from Hebrews chapter 7 and 9 again. I can't get away from this chapter. It's such a wonderful chapter, is Hebrews. Read through it. And what an encouragement that this man who is writing to these Hebrews to encourage them, and I say this on a Thursday, he's writing to encourage them that which we have is better than that which we have not got. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Chapter 9 and verse 26 and 28. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You see, there's twice it mentions once. Only one sacrifice. And then we can turn to chapter 10, 10 to 12. By the which we are also sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. We read this morning. We opened up this morning. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And then in chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged their sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, what a saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. That's another hymn we sing. Glorious. Of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about God having pity and having patience, he's not willing that any should die, it tells us in the scriptures. He's not pleased at the death of the sinner. God doesn't gloat. God sends his Son. And finally, just let's think about this, these four things. One, there's an end. Habakkuk tells us there's an end. And Peter reminds his readers there's an end. There is an end. This world will come to an end. This is not all there is. Just as our lives will come to an end, God said this world will come to an end. So there is an end. There is an end to come. It's not been here yet. We've not experienced the end. But there's an end to come. And there is an end to come that will decide. Decide what? Well, Luke chapter 16 tells you what will be the decision of God on that day. It will be made by the decision that you have made in time. God will make a decision in eternity according to the decision that you make in time. if you reply to the offer of Jesus Christ when he says, come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation. If the new king was to send you an invitation, come unto me and have the banquet, what would you do? Come unto me and come to the garden party. Would you say, I'm not going there? Why should I go there? You would consider it a great privilege to go into the palace and to rub shoulders with top people. But what would happen at the end of the day? You would have to leave. You would have to come out these big gates into London, onto the underground or onto the buses, and that would be it finished. But Jesus says, come unto me, because in me there is eternity. Eternity. There's an end. There's an end to come. There's an end that will decide. And there's an end to come that will decide our future eternity. Matthew again, let me just read this and I'll finish. Let me read Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now he's talking about the day when Christ comes back again and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to place some on his right hand, some on his left hand. And he's going to judge each and every one. You and I will be judged. But Paul reminds us, because of Christ's work on the cross, there is no condemnation for the Christian. And this is what Christ will say to the Christian. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then there's that decision that has been made in verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on their left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a terrible day coming. But that terrible day can be avoided because of the day that has been appointed. And that's the day when Christ hung on the cross. That's when the day when Christ shed his blood. And as God said to Moses, it's the blood that makes an atonement for your sin. And Peter takes this up and says, but it wasn't the blood of the goats and it wasn't the blood of the bulls that took away the sin and made an atonement for the soul, but it was the Lamb of God. It was Jesus Christ himself. He's the only way of salvation. And this is the message that the world needs to hear. It's the message the world doesn't want to hear. But it will be proclaimed. It will be proclaimed because Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I am with you always. Let me ask you this question. I might get the answer by your face. I might get the answer by a nod. Are you glad you're a Christian? Any response? Are you glad you're a Christian? Do you feel safe? Are you glad that Jesus died for your sin? Well, I am. I am. Let's pray.